It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And this morning's Artist Corner is brought to you by the folks at the Sawdust Art Festival going on now through August 28th. And again, the Sawdust is a place you can walk through and there's faces and artists that you may have seen for years and never had the opportunity to stop by and talk to them. I would suggest you do that with this gentleman the next time you stop by the Sawdust. His name is Andrew Solis. He's a woodworker, a craftsman. And the moment we start talking to him, I know you're going to know who he is. He creates this one-of-a-kind wooden furniture and all of these amazing boards that you see hanging there. He's got a studio and showroom in Laguna Canyon across from LCAD. His art is best described from me as ceremonial, and it is tribute art. It is magnificent to be able to speak with him. We welcome Andrew Solis. Welcome this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here today. The first thing that strikes me about your art, and it's woodwork that I notice with you, it's the life that you breathe into these pieces of timber. Mm-hmm. It really is for me, and I've discovered through you and your art that every single piece of timber in the world has a different fingerprint. Do you feel that?
Absolutely, yeah. The trees, you know, in the native culture, with the way that we view everything, we're just another part of nature as human beings. We're related to all things, including the tree people. Mm. And they've been here longer than anyone. And so they've watched everything happen. And they've lived a very long life. When they lay down to die, we get to give them life in another form. And before working with each piece, you spend time to look at it. What story does it tell you? Was it in a fire? Did it have a disease? Right. Where was the struggle? It shows in the grain of the wood when the tree sends out enzymes to fight the disease, and it creates a beautiful burl. Right. And so we do our best to honor the spirit that lives in that. And if we do the job right, then the person we make it for, they feel it.
Right.
And so people are drawn because there's still a life in that tree, even though it's now in a different form.
Now, I know you'll notice that whenever I'm at Sawdust, I have to stop by your booth. I have to stop and look at the work.
Always grateful.
And I see that you do breathe life into old timber. And I wonder, what is it that you look for visually when you see a piece for the first time?
Well, it's like meeting someone new.
Okay.
You know, when you meet someone new, you look at them, you kind of can tell. So the lines on their face or their youthfulness or the energy that comes off of them. And we do the same thing. We look at each piece and see its curves, its forms, its shapes, its grains, its patterns. And really it informs us of how it wants to be worked with, what it wants to be.
Right. Did you, your ancestry is the Lakota,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, all Native Americans have a reverence for nature, regardless of where the tribes are across this great turtle island. And some are warrior societies, some are hunter-gatherers. Regardless, it is a peaceful way of walking with nature and not imposing our will upon nature. I think that historically we can see over and over examples of when mankind and humans impose their will upon nature. It's a momentary success, but then they always lose.
Right.
Nature will always take over. So when we approach our life in that way, you can find harmony, you can find peace, and a more gentle way to walk. And that's what's been passed down through the lineage in our family and all families, to be able to hold that as best as we can.
Beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. So in 200 years, when someone, an artist like you, in 200 years from now, when they look at the trees that we're living with today that may have fallen, will they see the stress of today? Will they see the lifestyle that the pollution? Will they feel all that? Will all of that be in the wood?
Absolutely. In fact, you're already seeing that in the wood that's available through the commercial lumber industry.
Okay.
You can, you know, the old growth, people have heard that phrase. And what it means, it's just literally old growth. It's never been touched, never been harvested.
Right.
Trees could be hundreds of years old, thousands of years old. And you see the rings in the tree are tight. They're close together. In some trees, you can see where there's a drought, whatever the stresses are by the ring patterns. Are they close together? Are they concentric? Do they morph? Nowadays, when you go to Home Depot to buy lumber, the wood, and everybody probably knows this, is crooked, it's warped, it's wet, it's soft, the rings are far apart. And so you can already see that stress occurring in the way that they're forcing lumber to grow quickly and harvesting it at a young age instead of letting it get older.
Right.
And I hope that in 200 years from now that there's even trees left.
Right. You're that fearful of where we are today with global warming and...
Absolutely. Right. You know, the program that we work with is under the guidance of the U.S. Forestry Department.
Right.
When they realize that our natural resources are dwindling faster than they can be replaced, that's where this whole emphasis on what's called urban forestry, which literally just means trees growing in city limits.
Right.
When city planners say, let's plant acacia trees down this street, they're pretty. Or let's plant ficus or whatever it is, without thinking that these are going to get huge,
right,
and change from what they look like now. So they may be getting too big for the sidewalks or dropping too many flowers and causing a mess for people that like everything clean.
Right.
And or cars hit them or wind or whatever the thing is that causes them to be taken down.
Right.
Historically, they would get chipped up into, you know, sawdust or firewood or just straight thrown into landfills. So the U.S. Forestry Department created a program to start using the urban lumber because there's still incredible wood in there.
Right.
And the variety is such that you don't get at lumber yards.
Right.
So that's why we have access to such beautiful variety of woods. And for every tree that's taken down in the city, two more are planted out in nature. So we're already trying to do what we can about that.
Right, to supplement the loss of trees.
Yep.
So do you have a favorite wood to work with? Is there a favorite wood?
That's probably the question I get asked most.
Right.
At Sawdust. And it's like, what's your favorite food or what's your favorite band?
You can struggle to name your... I was going to ask those two next, actually. Those are my next two questions.
I love black walnut. I love acacia and I love olive. I think those are probably my top three.
Okay. Is there a wood that is more survivable? What is the strongest wood as far as survival, as far as being able to handle climate change? Is there a wood? Is there a tree that can handle what we're going through?
I think we're a little early on to know that. You know, okay, with climate change, it's been going slowly. It's ramping up now. I don't know if in our lifetime we'll be able to determine that.
Right.
But I look historically at trees that populate around the world and that are slower growth, or they're pretty sturdy. I would say olive trees, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they grow all over the world, and they're absolutely beautiful. And more than anything, I think those might be the ones last.
And am I crazy? Tell me if I'm crazy that the olive tree grain, that's that kind of, it's a long grain, right? Or the circular pattern is actually lengthened in the olive tree?
Yeah, they're long, and they don't go, you know, perfectly round like a lot of trees, and it's not ever perfectly, but they're really kind of abstract forms. It's,
right,
it's interesting.
Right. And are you working on any pieces right now, specifically that you're kind of proud of and can share with us?
Yeah, in fact, I have some olive wood that came from Disneyland, actually.
Okay.
The company that I work with to get my lumber from, and I'll give a shout out to Street Tree Revival and Big John Mahoney.
Okay.
They maintain a lot of the city's forest, and they maintain the health of Disneyland's forest. And when Disneyland was reorganizing, you know, they had to move trees or trees got sick. Some of those older heritage trees,
right,
had to come out. So we have some of that. We're doing some really beautiful art projects with.
Very, very cool. I'm curious as to what a sun dancer and a pipe carrier is.
A pipe carrier in the Lakota tradition, it's a long story, but the short of it is everybody refers to something called a peace pipe.
Right.
Okay, we all know what that image looks like.
Yes.
A wooden stem with the bowl on the end. In the Lakota language, it's a chanupa waka. It's a sacred medicine pipe. And it's a direct connection to the creator and the spirit world when you use that to pray in a good way. And it gives us guidance and brings us back to our center. Typically, a person is, in the medicine way, you're given a dream to carry a pipe, and then you have to get the stone, which only comes from one place in the earth. Then you have to gather the wood for the stem. And, you know, when I had my dream, I sat with that for 1 year before I even started carving it. I carried it with me for one whole year. I slept with it, took it to ceremony. And then after the year, I started working on it and carving it to the form that I saw in my dream.
Right.
And then a ceremony was done where I held the pipe in my hands and I wasn't allowed to set it down during the ceremony. It was Sweat Lodge. And boy, those medicine men made it hot. But it's much like the responsibility of carrying the pipe. It's very, it can be very heavy and cumbersome because you use that to pray with other people, to help other people with their problems in life. And so we would lay down our life to protect that pipe, and many of our ancestors have.
Right.
So it's nothing to be taken lightly, and we don't call it a peace pipe.
Right.
It was called a peace pipe because our chiefs and our elders and our medicine men would always bring that when the U.S. government came with a treaty.
Right.
Because we believe that when you smoke with this, with another person, you never tell a lie. You're always honest from your heart.
Right.
So I believe 387 treaties were signed, and they were all broken,
right?
Not by us.
Right.
So we don't call it a peace pipe.
So clearly they were able to lie regardless of what they smoked with you.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that, huh? And all these years later, still continuing that same trend.
Yeah.
So you're also a healer. And simply with these conversations, I imagine that you can send someone, you can draw someone to their center simply with these conversations and reminding them that we're all, that the earth and humanity and trees are all kind of one. We're all in the same bag here. When you see things like deforestation of the Amazon, when you see the deforestation here in our, and does that break your heart?
Oh, yeah, it makes my heart very sad that humans don't learn.
Right.
We just don't learn.
Right.
And unfortunately, by the time that the lesson is delivered to us by the earth, it's usually catastrophically.
Right.
And we watch our own children suffer. We watch our elderly suffer, and we don't do anything. And that's not across the board. It's just in general,
right.
I say that. And, you know, as far as being a healer, we have to remember that every living creature and plant on this planet are designed to heal themselves. Okay.
Right.
It's just some of the living organisms on this planet forget. And so there are certain people who live a life in a certain way that help remind others how to heal.
Right.
You know, I don't have any powers. I'm just a common man.
That's right.
It.
Yeah, you just.
And I've lived an very interesting life that allows me to help other people find their path to heal what's
right.
going on.
Sometimes it's just pointing someone in the right direction. You know, sometimes it's as simple as giving directions. Hey, man, you're going the wrong way. How about going this way instead?
Stop doing that.
Yeah, go this way instead. Another thing before I let you go. You had mentioned the correct urban trees to plant in areas. Here in Laguna Beach, and specifically for our climate and our lifestyle, is there a perfect tree that someone that's just buying a new home or something that they may want to plant that would thrive?
Well, California is interesting. It's got such a diverse climate, and a tremendous amount of our current tree population comes from all over the world because people would bring their trees here.
Right.
You know, everybody wants a shady tree or a pretty tree or things that are easy to maintain, but you have to realize the natural climate we live in. I would say if you want something to thrive, look at the natural plants that grow here anyway.
Right.
And it's not always going to be a big, pretty tree. It might be a shrub or a bush or something. If we want those big, pretty trees, we can move to where they live.
Right. Beautifully
put. Don't make them live where we live.
It's like the phrase, hey, why don't you come visit me once in a while? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And then, you know, my grandfather, his name is Soldier Bear. He always told me, never live where there's more people than trees.
Very cool. Wisdom. Very, very well said. Where do we find you online? Where can our listeners go to find you online?
So we're at tatankamani.net.
Okay.
My shop is in the canyon, 1945 Laguna Canyon Road, a little bit past Ganal Lumber.
Okay.
And all the way in the back, we have new things going on in our shop. We have a 51-inch wide belt sander. We're going to be providing sanding services for people.
Excellent.
We're going to be getting a laser jet cutter to do some engraving on site and other exciting new things.
Oh, can't wait. Growing. And it's TATANKAMANI.net. TATANKAMANI.net. All right, and at the Sawdust, which I absolutely have been loving you for years at the Sawdust, and you share that booth with the lovely Carrie. Yes. Do you guys ever like maybe do a combination woodwork with leather together? Is there ever a combination of the art of the artwork?
We always talk about that.
We were talking about it this morning, right?
Yeah. And then we always get so caught up in what we are currently doing.
Right.
I think next year we're going to find a nice collaboration that, that we can do.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, please send Carrie our love.
I will.
And what's the booth number at Sawdust for
301 our listeners? 301
and 302. 301, 302 at Sawdust. Yep. Definitely don't miss either walking by and checking out his magnificent woodwork or just going by and saying hello and taking a few minutes and spending having a conversation with him. Andrew Solis, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Ed. Appreciate it.
Thank you. 820, that was the Artist Corner brought to you by the folks at Sawdust Art Festival, going on now through August 28th. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.